Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Companions on the Journey, a one-hour weekly program that provides the opportunity to deepen our faith in the Lord Jesus and to share with each other the moments of grace we have experienced. Monsignor Stephen McHenry, Pastor Emeritus of St. Anthony of Padua Parish in Ambler, Pennsylvania, is your host. Monsignor will be taking calls during the second half hour of his program. Call in and speak with Monsignor by calling 610-527-2906. And now, your host, Monsignor McHenry.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Monsignor McHenry in His Sign Catholic Radio, and our little group gathering today is called Companions on the Journey. It's good to be with you, and it's another beautiful Friday afternoon in the Delaware Valley. If you're on the roads, I hope that you're able to be safe and get to your destinations. God's brought us to the end of another work week. It looks like a rainy weekend coming up, but today is a beautiful day, so just try to enjoy that as you can. It's good for me to be with you today, and I always look forward to these opportunities, an hour together, and it goes pretty quick. In any event, we're going to begin with prayer, and I'd like us to start just by praying for our Holy Father. He just finished his trip to Africa, and it was a number of days, over a week. And he visited some very significant African countries and, you know, gave his witness and so forth. What I've noticed now, it's almost a year since Leo is our Pope. And so the criticisms of him are starting to come in from the right and from the left, which usually is a sign that you're pretty much on target when both of the extremes are finding fault with some of the decisions or some of the things you say. I thought he acquitted himself very well in the different interviews that I saw him conduct, and on the plane when he was being questioned by the reporters. Thought he did a good job with that. He's pretty down to earth, pretty straightforward in the things that he was saying. And he was talking about how the Vatican has to have a connection with all these different countries so that they can have a diplomatic connection with them. And a lot of times the countries that they have a connection with are autocratic countries, and they're countries that are not always in support of a Christian message and so forth. And yet it's important that there's a connection there, a diplomatic connection. And so, you know, his thing is you have to be able to talk to everybody. You have to be able to listen. And you have to find ways to bring the message of the gospel to everybody, because that's what Jesus himself did. And I thought, that's pretty good, you know. And he was challenged, but I thought he acquitted himself pretty well. And like he was talking about the one nation where he was talking about peace, because there had been a lot of strife and internal civil disobedience and civil strife and war there. And he says, you know, that particular speech was finished two weeks ago. And he said, when President Trump was speaking about me, and then afterwards when I gave that talk, people were saying, that talk was about the United States and what was happening in Iran and so forth. And he said it really wasn't. It was about what was happening in the particular country that I was visiting. But the timing, of course, looks like it's different. And he says you have to live with that when you're, you know, in the position that he's in. And I thought there was just some truth to that. We are so aware now that everybody gives us spin. And very few people give us truth. And so we've become a little cynical. We didn't want to, But there's a certain little, I'm not sure I believe that. I'm not sure I believe that. I'm not sure I believe that. And it kind of has crept into our lives because we hear so many things which we recognize are not true. And then when someone says, no, this is true, I'm not sure. Not sure. And so when somebody like a Leo speaks really from his heart and speaks that which is true, it gets lumped in with all the other things that are being said. And how can we discern? How can we tell? It's really important. And I submit to you, we cannot tell just on our own. We are hardwired to the truth by God himself. And so we recognize the truth. We seek the truth. We do. And yet at the same time, because this world is influenced by the negative impact of the evil spirits, the truth often is, under attack itself. And it's often the effort is to take part of the truth and put a lie around it so it serves some other purpose. And that's what spin is. It's a little bit of truth with a lie used to serve another purpose. And we try to justify that as it's okay. Well, it's just a little lie. Is there ever such a thing as a little lie? It's only a little bit of a denial of the truth. Really? Only a little denial of the truth. So that's like okay? I don't think it's okay. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, I am the way and somewhat of the truth and a little bit of the truth. And no. He's the truth. And we can know the truth and we are to live in the truth. And we're not to make the truth serve us. We are to serve it. So let's pray for the Pope. Let's pray for the President. Because he's under the same set of rules that we're all under. And he has his own way of working things out, to lead the United States. And we just have to be sure that we pray for him like we pray for everyone. He really needs our prayers. The Pope really needs our prayers. I really need your prayers. I know the effect of the prayers of the people of St. Anthony's had on me. I know it. And I still feel that people pray for me still. I'm grateful for it. And I pray for a lot of people, and they know it too. So we pray for these people. Let's pray for peace in Iran and in Israel and in the United States. Let's pray for the reopening of, the commerce that needs to reopen. Let's pray for an end of the violence in Syria and in the Ukraine and in Lebanon and in Nigeria and between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Some of these things go on and we don't even know about that. So all of the requests that we put before the Lord have to do with bringing peace into our world and the restoration of good order. I ask you to pray for a childhood friend of mine, grade school. His name is Bill Gillespie. He just had some major surgery yesterday, and he seemed to come through it okay. It's going to be some ongoing treatments, therapies that he's going to have to undergo. But I would ask you to pray for him and his wife and their family, all his friends and so forth. Pray for those who have asked us to pray for them, those who are undergoing treatments of different kinds, therapies of different kinds, those who are in recovery, people who have had compulsions and addictions and that are struggling to get back their sobriety, their equilibrium. We pray for all of those people, those who suffer from emotional disorders, mental disorders, all of them we put before the Lord. Now let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we are in the Easter season, and so all of the readings point to your resurrection and its meaning. And so today we will be looking at an aspect of your life that you revealed to us when you walked the face of the earth, that you are the gate for the sheep. And help us to understand what that means and how it applies to our own lives in the year 2026. We place all of these petitions and those of our hearts before you, O Lord. We know that the world is in your hands. We entrust everything into your hands, and we ask you to take care of all of it. We will do our part. We pledge that, O Lord. We will cooperate with your grace because you invite us to cooperate with your grace. You want us to cooperate with your grace. And we pledge our desire and our hearts to do just that. But we also know that it does not all depend on us. It all depends on you. You have won the victory. Death has been vanquished. Sin has been overcome. Violence has been destroyed itself. And there is peace, and there is harmony, and there is good order, but it is only in you, O Lord. So help us to put you first in our lives. We ask you to bless us, our families, our loved ones, especially this weekend. And we make this prayer in your name, O Lord, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's good to be with you, and our phones are working, and you can call in the second half hour of the show. 610-527-2906 is the call. There will be time to take your calls and to talk with you if you would like, to ask any questions that you may have. And but until we do that, I'm going to start with the reading from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 10, and it's verse 1 through 10. And it's this. Jesus said, "Amen, amen. I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, when he's driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Gospel, may our sins be blotted out. So that passage is pretty familiar. It's often used, this fourth Sunday of Easter is often called Good Shepherd Sunday, and oftentimes the passage that names Jesus as the Good Shepherd later on in John is read. But this year we don't read that he says, "I am the Good Shepherd." We read where he says, "I am the gate." And so that's what our reflection is going to be on. It's an odd image. We don't think like that. I am the gate. Like, I am the door. We don't often think like that. We think in other terms, and so we'll raise some of them with you today. Now, before I do that, I just wanted to take a moment to call to mind. I have a website, and it's called the Online cottage.org, and I live in a cottage. Literally, I live in a cottage, a caretaker's cottage, and so I post my reflections, my homilies, my presentations, my conferences, my talks. I post them on the Online cottage because they come from my heart, They come from the cottage of my heart. And in each person, there's a little cottage in your heart where the little one lives. And so the online cottage, and if you were to go there, you'll see the Sea of Galilee, little 10-second, you know, reel. And it's beautiful. And then you'll see that there's an opportunity. For example, my daily homilies that are 3 minutes long, maybe 4 minutes at most. You can listen to a daily homily every single day. It's not posted early. It's usually posted later. But there are daily homilies there that go back, and the archives are all there. Sunday homilies are posted there. So if you want to reflect on what was preached upon, or if you want to anticipate something, there are all of the companions on the journey, hour-long talks that we've shared over these last 2.5 years or so. They're all there, not the video part, but the audio part. So you can go back to any particular one and say, I want to listen to that again. Click on it. You can hear it. There are retreats that I've given. There are conferences that I've given, and they're all posted there. There are 40 hours presentations that I've given. You can listen to them there. It depends on what you're looking for. There are other talks that I've given on different themes, forgiveness or hope or the Eucharist and things like that. So all of those things are available there. You can also contact me through the website asking for specific prayers, and people do. And then I respond, I'll say a rosary, or I'll remember the intention in the Mass. So there are ways that you can get to me to have access to the things that you hear here and in other places that you don't hear. But it's called the onlinecottage.org. And so that's the email address, and that's how you can go find it on the website as well. Okay, now we're back to John chapter 10. I am the gate. So Jesus says, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. We don't have a lot right here in the northeastern part of the United States. We don't have a lot of access to sheep, although where I lived in Ambler, there are in some parts there in Bluebell and other where there are big farms, and some of those farms had sheep on them. And I know this because I was called down years ago, 20, 25 years ago, to bless the foal of a new horse a mother had given birth. And so the owner of the horse wanted me to come and bless, and it was born on Holy Saturday night. And so they called Pasco, I think was the name of the horse. And anyway, this is, you know, several months later, and the horse is like, you know, it's grown a little bit and so forth, and wanted me to come down and bless it. We don't baptize horses for good reason, but I can bless all the animals like St. Francis of Assisi did. And so I blessed the horse, and the horse thanked me by taking a bite out of my shoulder, but I recovered and it was okay. It was just a little bite, a little nip. So the owner of the horse said that's the way that Paco shows affection. And I said I could probably use a little less affection then. But anyhow, they had sheep, maybe 40 sheep. And they said, would you bless the sheep? And I said, sure, I'll go out and bless the sheep. So I walked out, and they were in an enclosure. And as I drew close, they took off to the other end of the enclosure. I didn't open my mouth. They didn't say a word. But they did not want to have anything to do with me, those sheep. I was a stranger to them. And they did not want to draw close to me at all. So they were other side. So we just had to do long range blessing of the sheep, and you know, and I prayed a blessing over them and so forth. But I think of that when I hear this thing. It says, whoever does not enter through the gate, and there was a gate to this enclosure, is a thief and a robber. So it got me to thinking about, why do you go into the sheep pen? Why do you go there? Well, the owner of that particular farm would go there to feed them or lead them in to show them where the food was going to be in the troughs, the trough for the food. And that reminded me of Bethlehem because, you know, that's where Jesus is born. And in a stable, and he's laid in a manger. And a manger was a food trough for the sheep to come in and eat. And so the bread of life, at the moment of birth, is placed into a manger, into a trough of food for the sheep, because he has come to become food for the sheep. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy. I will send one to you. And Bethlehem means house of bread. And so there were sheep in Bethlehem. There were a lot of sheep in Bethlehem. One of the reasons why is Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem. And so when the Passover was coming, the temple would have all kinds of arrangements with local herdsmen, you know, to purchase sheep for the festival. They were going to be slaughtered. And then the family would make an offering for the sheep and take some home to eat it as part of the Passover supper. Okay, so there were all of these arrangements. And those shepherds in Bethlehem, they were raising sheep, many of which were going to end up as sacrifices at the temple. So you get a whole different connection there too. Jesus is he's put in that trough. And they eat out of that trough, and then they are sacrificed at the temple on Passover. And so this little word from Jesus about sheep and shepherds really has deep roots to it, all throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament in his own blood. He's the Lamb of God who's going to be sacrificed. And so the Lamb of God is put in the trough where the lambs are fed, and he'll become food for them, for us. And Jesus is talking about we're the sheep of the flock, and he's the good shepherd, and he's leading us. But one of the things I did learn about the sheep is that they're a precious animal because their wool is really worth something, you know. They give milk. You know, when they're slain, they become food. And they can do this over and over again, not being slain, but like giving of their wool and giving of their milk and things like that. So they're a very valuable animal. But they're not particularly good at protecting themselves. They're very vulnerable animals. And they're very herd-like, like they, you know, one goes and they all go, they, you know, and it's, there isn't a lot of independent thought. And so, when sheep is not, the sheep are, they have great gifts, but their ability to protect themselves is not so strong. And, you know, that's like us. We have great gifts. I mean, great gifts. But sometimes our ability to protect ourselves. And we sometimes follow voices that aren't really the voice of the shepherd. We follow other voices. We surely hear a lot of voices. From all of the media, we hear voices. From television we do, and radio we do, and music we do, and videos we do. You know, we see it on the computer, we see it on our tablets, we see it on our smartphones. We see a lot of things. We hear a lot of voices, a lot of voices. And many of those voices claim to be the voice of truth, the voice of enlightenment, the voice of concern, the voice of compassion, the voice of care. And so there's all kinds of things. The voice of need. You need this product. You know, you can't live without this product. The voices, we hear them a lot. And sometimes we let ourselves get taken up into that. And we don't like to make the connection between us and sheep, but there's a connection, and Jesus is using it. So he says here, if you have all your sheep in the pen, and just to complete the understanding, they would put stones, and they do this in Ireland too. They take stones that were all over the fields, they gathered them, and they would make walls about 3 feet high. And not all the sheep are going to be able to jump over that. A little too high. Goats can go right over, but not all the sheep. And so about 3 feet high, and it becomes where they put all of the sheep, and then they put a gate, and they put the sheep together. Now, at the time of Jesus and in Israel, it wouldn't just be the herds of one flock that would go into this enclosure. It would be the herd, several herds. And say, well, how could you tell the difference? All the sheep, you know, hundreds of sheep, because each shepherd would know his sheep and often would name them and would call to them. And because they recognize his voice, it's like how your dog recognizes your voice. They recognize it, and they don't recognize my voice, but they recognize your voice. The sheep recognize the voice of their master, their shepherd. And so when he would call them, those sheep would go to him. The other sheep wouldn't. They'd be in the pen. When their shepherd came and he called to them, they would go with him. So it wasn't just one herd in this pen. It was many herds in this pen, a lot of sheep. And so all of the shepherds would not be there. There would be somebody at the gate of the sheepfold. So if you were trying to go into the sheepfold, not through the gate, not where the shepherd would know who you were, your intention would not be a good intention. You would only be going there because you were going to try to steal some sheep. You were going to try to kill some sheep, you know. And if you're saying, is the wolf or the lion, are they going to go to the gate? They're going to go in over the back wall and so forth. So human predators or animal predators and so forth. The shepherd's job was to keep the sheep safe. And when they were there, he would be their guardian. He would be their guard. He was given that task. That was his responsibility. He had to stay awake even during the night hours. There would be shifts, you know, 1 3-hour and then another 3 hours and so forth. And but it was so that the flock could be protected, and the flock needed to be protected. And when Jesus uses the image of that, he's telling us, you, the flock, need to be protected. You need to be protected. And my friends, I don't think we always grasp that. We think like, I need to make sure I have insurance. So in case something happens to my car, something happens to my house, something happens, you know, to my possessions, I have insurance, I have safety, I have protection. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about you. You and I need protection. We need spiritual protection, because the enemy is like the one who's going to go in the back of the sheepfold and who seeks to devour, who seeks to destroy, who seeks to bring violence to bear, seeks to take away the protection and the safety that the shepherd is offering. And so you don't do that in a straightforward fashion. You do that in another way, under the auspices of the darkness, and you don't go in through the opening that is right there for everybody to go through. So Jesus is using that image right in the beginning. And man, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate but climbs over is a thief and a robber. And whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, because he comes there. Now, sometimes there wouldn't be actually a gate. There would be just a person who would lay down in the opening. And you served as the gate. Anything that was going to try to get in the sheepfold straightforwardly, they were going to have to go through you. And now Jesus uses that image of himself. And he says, I am the shepherd. I'm the gate. I'm the way in. And I just want you to think about that. We're going to take a 90-second break. We'll be back, but just remember that. I am the gate. I'm the way in, and I'm the way out. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
We are back, and we're talking about Jesus as the gate. And one of the things, there are different ways of looking at the sheep. So the shepherd looks at the sheep and says, okay, we're trying to get the wool from the sheep, and we're trying to get the milk from the sheep, and we're trying to keep the sheep safe, and we're trying to protect them, and then we want them to be around for a long period of time, and we want to have some available for sacrifice at the temple. But this is an ongoing thing, but it's all driven by care of the sheep and need of the family and the community. But if you're looking at the sheep as, if I can get a couple of these sheep for me, you know, I can just take them, the wool becomes my wool, I can sell the meat on the market, okay, so I can steal and make my own. So I'm looking at the sheep, not for the sheep's purpose, but for my purpose, for me. And that's what Jesus is saying, you're trying to steal, you're a thief and a marauder. So there's different ways to see the sheep. What's the mindset? How do you look upon them? Are they something to enrich you? Or are they something that, you know, is a gift to you from God to be taken care of? And so you understand. And Jesus gets all of this. He's not a sinner, but he sees what goes on. He doesn't miss anything. He's sharp. So he understands. So then he talks about the relationship of the shepherd with the sheep. And he says, the sheep, they know my voice, they recognize my voice. And so the voice becomes really important, for the sheep trust the voice, and they trust the person whose voice they hear and recognize. They trust, and will follow. Don't have a problem. Wherever you lead us, we will go. We'll follow after you. And that's what it says when they go out. He stands at the head and they follow after him. He calls them by name and they follow after him. So the voice is critically important. And God's voice, inaudible, and God's visage, invisible. Well, in order to make his voice audible and his visage visible, he sends his only begotten Son to take on our flesh, become one of them, become one like them in all things but sin. And you will be my voice to them. And Jesus himself will say, he who sees me sees the Father. But Jesus is visible. The Father is invisible. So did you ever stop to think that because we can see Jesus, because we can hear his voice, that we can actually see the visible Father who is invisible in the Son? He who sees the Father sees me. He who sees me sees the Father. Why is this important? Because we struggle with our worship of the invisible God and the inaudible God. And so the Father understands that, and he sends one to be like us in all things but sin. And so Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am these things. That's who I am. You can rely upon my voice. You can listen for my voice. And the way I am in the world is in a lot of different ways. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. All of these things. All of these I am statements. I am the Son of the Beloved One. Yes, and that's who Jesus is. So the I am statements are linked up with the voice statements, the identity statements, and the voice that comes from the identity of the shepherd, the one who is faithful and true. That's who Jesus is. He's the beloved of God in our flesh, faithful and true. And so when he speaks, you can put your trust in that word. So here's the problem. There's all these voices in the world. I mentioned them earlier in the first half hour of the show. But there are all these voices, and the question is, how do we discern? How do we maneuver through them? How do we learn? That isn't a good voice. That isn't a good voice. That voice is partially true and partially false. That is a misleading voice. That voice is just trying to cater to me to get me to buy their product. That voice doesn't really care about me at all, even though that voice is saying, I care about you. There's a lie there. I can sense that there's a lie there. And it gets wearying to have to live our lives always to be discerning. Is this reliable? Is this true? And so forth. Because the claim is, my voice is the true voice. Everything claims that. All advertising claims that. All marketing claims that. All companies claim that. All politicians claim that. All governments claim that. All organizations claim that. Sometimes parents claim that, authorities claim that, and so you get a little weary, you know. Is it so? And the Lord says, I will speak a word to your heart that you will be able to tell the difference. But you have to keep coming to me. You have to keep bringing that to me. And so the other voices, we have to be able to recognize them, but we have to be careful. We have to weigh those voices and decide whether we're going to put our faith in them or not. I was talking with a fellow recently who was saying he was, you know, online, and he was talking with this person, and it was part of a dating service. And he said, but all of a sudden he realized that the meter was always running, you know. And then you're starting to say, well, what's really going on here, you know. So there was a presentation, it's this, but the reality was it was this. And so it wasn't as it appeared to be. And that's the difficulty. We're susceptible to the lie. From the very Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were susceptible to the lie. And the lie was there because the angels had fallen. They had rejected the truth of the living God. And they had been cast down to earth. And so their game plan was to destroy us. And that's how they were going to get back at God, for casting men down to earth. And so they set up their little fiefdom here. And that's, I think that's at the root of what Jesus is talking about here in terms of gate. You don't have perhaps a gate on your house. You have a door. You lock your door. Do you always come into your homes by the same door pretty much? Is it the front door? Is it the back door? Is it by the kitchen? Is it by the garage? How do you come into your house? And what I would find is that when I was growing up, we always come in through the back door. We had a little pantry there, my mom and dad had a washer and dryer and an ironing board and stuff, and that's how we came into the house. It was only when somebody came to visit that they would come to the front door, you know. But it was a door. It wasn't a gate. Some who are listening to me live in gated communities where there are gates. And when I was down in Mexico, I was surprised at this. I was living in a very poor section in Mexicali, and this is back in 2019. And one of the things that I was surprised at, there's the big thing with the wall, the wall between Mexico and the United States. And you know, it was always presented as a kind of an onerous thing and so forth. But when I went into Mexico, I found that there were walls everywhere in Mexico, not between Mexico and the United States, but in Mexico itself. And often there were walls where there were very poor people and very poor homes, but they still had a wall and a gate. And there would be dogs often on the inside, so that if you got into the gate, you had to face the dogs. And the reason for that is people would take from each other. And where there was poverty, there was that kind of need for protection. And I was just surprised at how many walls there were and how many gates there were, even in poor sections. So I'm listening. I wonder how that's heard in certain parts of the world. Gates. And then we talk about the gates of heaven. And I've said often to people, I can't wait to see my mom and dad meet me at the gates of heaven. And then we talk about the gates of hell. And what Jesus says is the gates of hell shall not prevail. So now, think about what's the purpose of a gate. A gate is to protect so that those who shouldn't get in don't get in. So you see the gates of heaven so that those who don't belong in heaven are not going to get into heaven because they can't pass through the gates. Only with God. And then Jesus says, I am the gate. In a sense, he's saying, I'm the way in. No one can get to the Father except through me. Nobody can know anything about God except through Jesus. It's not what he says. He says, nobody can get to the Father except through me. You can learn something about God, but you can't enter into a relationship with God as Father except through me. And that's why we talk about, you have to be baptized into Christ to be saved. To enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God, there's only one way in. The gate is Jesus himself. That's why Pope Benedict XVI, he would talk about heaven. He said, isn't a place. Heaven's a person. Heaven's a relationship. And you know you have the relationship where you know you don't have the relationship. You know it. And the person with whom you're to have the relationship knows it too. And there's no finessing this, my friends. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? And it says the rich man is in the torment and Lazarus is on the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man sees him and he says, oh, Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and quench my thirst. Abraham says, there's a big chasm between you and I. We can't cross that. You can't cross over. We can't cross over. He said, send it to my brothers, because, if they know about this, they would change their ways. They have Moses and the prophets. No, but if somebody would come from the dead, they would change. And I said, if they don't listen to Moses, Abraham says, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, I doubt they would change even if someone were to rise from the dead. Okay. Well, someone has risen from the dead. And there are still a lot of people out there living their own way, living their own lives, listening to the voices they choose to listen to, not listening to the voice of Jesus. You know that prayer I wrote for the return of children to the practice of the faith? And I say here, it says there are still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they are basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture, but not by being true to God, by being true to themselves. What's the matter with that? If you're going to be true to yourself and that's going to be the norm by which you live, you have set yourself up higher than the living God who reveals the truth. You're saying, my understanding of things is what I'm going to serve. Oh. Well, what differentiates that from anybody else? You can see so truly that you know all truth, that you're not ever deceived, that you don't need something, someone more powerful than you, more truthful than you, someone to whom you are beholden for the very life that you have. You see how you kind of slip away and you think, I got this, I'm talented, I'm strong, and so forth in those times. Well, what happens when you're not talented, and what happens when you're not strong, and what happens when things don't go your way, and what happens when your child gets sick, and what happens when you lose your job, and what happens when the relationship breaks up? What happens in these moments? What happens to the world you've created? Say, I'm going to serve this God, which is myself. Not so good. Not so good. Whose voice are you listening to? Well, I'm going to listen to my own voice. Oh. And do you want other people to listen to your voice? No, I just want to listen to my voice. Oh. Well, what about all the other people? Do you care about them? Isn't there a voice that everybody should be listening to? See, we don't go deep. We don't follow this through. We don't ask the further questions a lot of times. We get into a little pattern and we're moving along superficially along the surface of things. We're content to live there and so forth. And the Lord says, that's okay for a time, but you're missing an awful lot. And there will come a time when you will yearn for more than that. You will want more than that. And I'm the gateway to that. You have to go through me to get into the kingdom of my Father. I've come to open the gates for you, but you still have to pass through me. And I'm going to be the judge. My Father has set it up that way. And the reason is because I've lived your life. I know exactly what goes on. I've experienced what happens when things go awry. I know the impact of the disorder. I know what happens when violence arises, when lust arises, and when theft arises, and deceit arises, and violence arises, and envy and pride take hold. I know what happens then. I know what happens when people aren't faithful. I know what happens when people get greedy for other things and other people. I know all of this. It killed me. And in killing me, it thought it triumphed. And in effect, it did not triumph. The exact opposite happened. It lost everything. I know all about it. And I'm going to be at the gate. I am the gate. He's not just the gate at some sheep pen on this earth. He's the gate. Remember when he says, try to enter through the narrow gate? He is the narrow gate. You have to enter through Jesus. My friends, there is no other way. No other way. I don't care if you think there's another way, if you're convinced in your heart of hearts that there is another way, that you can substitute what you want to do for that way. People have all gone down that route. What Jesus says is, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the gate. This is who I am. This is why I came. I came to open those gates because your sin closed those gates. I came to reopen them. And I will do that. And I have done that. But that doesn't mean you're automatically in. It means you have to have a relationship with me. And as you live my life, you live in me, and I live in you, I transform you. And in the transformation, I ready you for life in the fullness of the kingdom. And if I don't ready you, if I don't transform you, you don't enter into the kingdom of life. You enter into the kingdom of death. You enter into the kingdom of darkness, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth, no matter what you thought you understood. I'm telling you, there's one voice, and there's one shepherd, and Jesus is the one. He doesn't beat us up with it. He just offers it to us, and it's really an important thing, and we have to get it right. And you and I have to get it right, and we have to help other people to get it right. There are an awful lot of people in the world who have never heard any of this. It's not their fault, but there's something that the Lord wants us to do for him, and that is to recognize it ourselves, to believe it ourselves, to live it ourselves, and to hand it on. You know, I was thinking just recently, we have First Communion at St. Anthony's tomorrow. I did them for over 30 years. One of the points I would always make with the fathers was that in many families, the father kind of cedes the religious upbringing of the children to the mother. Sometimes the mother has more religious instincts and efforts in her own life. And then the father does, especially in today's world. You know, fathers have become expendable in a lot of different ways. And so, you take care of that. You know, I'll take care of the household. You take care of that. And I said, but there are certain things that only the father can teach his children, can teach his sons, and teach his daughters. And the men would look at me like, what? How can you say that only certain things? You know, my wife can teach all of those things to the kids. No, it's not true. One of the things that she can't teach to your children is what a dad looks like when he prays. She can't teach them that. She can teach them what a mom looks like when she prays, but not what a dad looks like. She can't teach them what a dad looks like on his knees in church with all these other people praying to the living God for his help. She can't teach them that. Only the dad can teach them that. And that's the connection with the gate. And we have a lot of men out there who are looking for ways to regain the truth of their masculine identity. Not as sexual creatures, and not that's not the area, but just as men. God has created male and female. And the male is to find his identity as a man of faith, a man of goodness, a man of devotion. A woman is to find her identity as a woman of faith, a woman of care, a woman of devotion. But it's not going to be the same. And the children need both of those things. The girls need to see what their dad looks like when he prays. The boys need to see that dads pray. And so there's that which is going on. And so the Jesus, he shows us what it looks like to pray. So much so that his disciples said, teach us how to pray. And so he did that. And he did that because we needed to learn that, because we needed to see that. And he says, if you see that in me and you imitate that in me, you draw a closer into a relationship with me. And as you do that, I begin to open the gates to you. You start to understand what is involved. You start to understand what is at stake. You start to understand that you can't do it on your own. You can't find it in yourself because it's not in you. It's in me. I have conquered sin. I have conquered death. I have empowered you. My Holy Spirit lives in you from baptism. My Holy Spirit lives in you from confirmation. You priests, my Holy Spirit lives in you. You have to step up, you priests, and you have to be me for your people. They have to see you as you truly are, to the point where they can start to recognize me in you. You become an alter Christus, another Christ. You become Jesus for them by being you, but by being you true to me, not true to yourself, true to me. This is elemental, fundamental, and this is missed a lot of times. So this little passage where Jesus is saying, I'm the gate, it's narrow, but it's not impossible. And when you're climbing hills and then mountains, the going gets a little bit more difficult and the space is narrow, but you find a way. And I'll help you find a way, he says. And that's what he's doing. He's helping us to find a way. That's why he came. And he says, I am the way. I'm the gate, and I'm the way into the gate and through the gate into the kingdom. There's a lot to think about this fourth week of Easter. Let's finish up now with our prayer. We pray for the return of our children to the practice of the faith. Father, we have a simple prayer we place before you. Lay your healing hands upon all our children, including those who have walked or wandered away from the spiritual and sacramental practice of their faith. Bring them back, O Lord. They have turned for meaning to ways other than the practice of their Catholic faith. There are still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they are basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture. Our faith is often viewed as being mostly about rules and commandments and mandates. There's little realization that faith is actually much less about these things and much more about you and your love for us all. It's much more about living in the truth that you are, O Lord. A connection has gone missing. This is not fully grasped. There is need to grasp this simple truth. There's a deep need to be reconnected to you, the vine. We who have loved them into life and formed them in faith know that this connection to you is vital. Vital to their lives, vital to their love, vital to their happiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that those we love will soon recognize anew that you are real. Realize that your love alone abides. We so love our children, Lord, and we so love you. Please guide them, prompt them, awaken them. May they come to realize that you, Father, as does the father of the prodigal son, go down to the road each evening to look for their return. As do we. It is for this return we pray. In the name of Jesus, your beloved Son, we pray. Amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings upon you, your family, your weekend. Stay safe. Stay close to the Lord. Get to Mass on Sunday. Next week, God bless you.